And welcome back to First Thought of the Day. I'm sitting here with Mal Dog.
Roof, roof.
Mal Dog in the house. And Aaron Ingbrack.
Hello.
It's good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
So
I'm not going to maintain that.
No, thankfully you should not ever have even started that. I don't know why I did.
Keep moving on.
So, but yeah, we're happy to be here. It's a beautiful day outside.
Yeah.
It's
like we've had a stretch of days that are just awesome.
Yeah. If the wind could just chill like a little, that'd be cool. But I like the 75.
Yeah, it's fun to just need everything handed to you, isn't it, Mallory?
It is.
Oh, it's 78 glorious degrees. If it were just 3 knots less from the west, it would be fine.
Was that my voice?
I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was.
Kind of a northeastern accent there.
It was.
So
I'm a Kennedy.
I've also been told I need to eat the mic when I'm talking, so I apologize if you're now able to hear me, but I'm making a conscious point.
We just want to welcome you to the show. You know, we love having you here,
Walker. Yes. I'm glad you can finally be here.
People thought there was just awkward moments of silence before.
We're just answering no one,
and it's just like somebody you can hear just like a wah, 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 something going on in the background. Is that Charlie Brown's teacher going on over back there?
Yep.
So, but yeah, so get us caught up. Anything cool going on? Anybody?
T-ball season.
And soccer.
And soccer season, yeah.
Soccer is a whole new... It has been fun. And my daughter, oldest daughter, played in her first volleyball tournament. And let me tell you, kindergarten volleyball is riveting. Actually, here's my little...
Mini Mal Dog.
How do they... Do they play like across a tennis net?
No, so the net is at 6 feet. That's a junior net, and they play with a volley light. So first of all, our kids, we have the youngest kids.
Volley light?
Yes, that's because it's lighter. We had to play second and third graders, which was, they were all like serving overhand. It was a little rough, but I'm going to take a little moment to brag on my child. Of three whole matches, our entire team combined only got three serves over the entire day. Guess who had two of them?
Miss the girl
Maisie.
Next to your daughter.
My child. I don't coach her, but
you're not a volleyball coach at all.
No. Nah. Actually, we only like... hit a balloon around in the living room. I don't like force her to come home and do drills. So, but she loved it. It was fun. It was torturous just because it's like miss serve. But she loved it. She had a blast, and it just makes me excited to see them excited. So there's my little.
One time I watched I think it was a fourth grade basketball game.
Ooh.
I don't even remember why I was there. I honestly don't remember, but it was. I'm not even going to say where it was in case there's a listener out there that was part of it. At the end of the first quarter, it was 0-0.
Ooh, barn burner.
End of the second quarter, end of half, it was 2-1. Somebody hit a free throw.
There we go.
Final score, 5-3.
There we go.
Electric.
We got halfway to double digits.
Hey.
I'm impressed.
Every point matters.
That's true. Yeah. Like that way. We'd like to, as a pod, give a little special shout out to one of our own, to one we feel a deep connection with, the king mammal himself, John Hutton.
Yes.
For those of you unaware, Tippecanoe Valley High School or the School Corporation has a Teacher of the Year each year, and the 2023 winner was John Hutton.
Well deserved.
Tell me why. Say why you think he deserves it. Because I 100% agree.
He's a rock. He's consistent. I've been in his classroom. I had the chance to observe him, and he's just on. He brings a level of intensity to education that I don't necessarily bring, and so I admire that. But the kids were just locked in. It was really cool to watch that.
Well, and I feel like he's become one of the pillars here. I know we've talked about that before, like, you know, just certain teachers that have been around.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
He, like, when you think of Valley, I think of John.
Me too.
And the way he connects with people, that's the thing, is like, he's always been the person that will step up and take that challenging student, or, you know, like, I can't think of a kid that he doesn't know well, you know, and have some sort of connection. And I think that's special. And he's just so good at meeting kids where they are, and also diffusing situations and handling it like really professionally, but in a way that the kids, like, they might be mad in the beginning, but they respect him later.
Yeah. Mallory, you said it well. He doesn't shy away from a challenge.
Mm-mm.
This is going to be difficult. I'm going to take it on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember my first interaction with John Hunt, mm-hmm. 2001. Everybody, think about this. There were three of us coaching track at the time. Me, never ran track a day in my life. I played baseball. Jeff Shriver, never ran track a day in his life. John Hutton, clearly not a track man.
He looked like a decathlete to me.
He is chiseled in granite. But we were out there, and somehow, I honestly don't know, somehow we got teams to state.
There we go.
That's amazing.
Like, we had
just all that greatness in one spot, just...
Yeah. The amount of knowledge that we have could about halfway fill a thimble when it comes to track. I'll speak for me. They were much brighter than I was. But it was so much fun, you know, being out there with those two. It was a blast. So yeah, congrats, John, on work well done, finally getting recognized for all the hard work you've put in all these years.
Oh, yeah,
well done.
And congrats to the rest of the nominees from the other schools, too.
Yeah, the other ones, Ethan Broombaugh from Akron. I think he teaches fourth grade. He's a relatively newcomer.
Okay.
Good kid. Linda Randall.
Yeah.
She's legendary as well. And one of maybe our former student, maybe all three of ours, Carissa Cody, Carissa Surface.
No. I didn't have
not
her,
mine.
But fun fact, she was the babysitter.
One for three.
She babysat Hutton's kids. It's such a small world, funny moment.
She was an awesome kid to have in class, mm-hmm. too. I thought the world of her then. She 100% deserves. She won the Corporation Teacher of the Year, so now she moves on to the state level. So
nice. Very exciting.
Very fun. So it's question time, y'all.
It is.
Question time. I think it's question time. Let's have ladies go first.
Okay, so here's my question. We often remember people that had influence over us that were in our lives a long time. Yep. But can you think of someone that was in your life a very short time that had a significant impact on you?
What's a short time?
Well, you can decide that.
Okay. I spent a summer mm-hmm. in South Dakota when I was in college. Mm-hmm. I actually been to Mount Rushmore over 100 times.
That's his two truths and a lie. Yeah,
so not that one's gone. Mm-hmm. No. I worked at a museum in Keystone, South Dakota, and I would go up and take pictures of tour groups that were coming to the museum. It was kind of prearranged.
Yeah, they didn't have permission.
He's just taking
pictures. Creeping on people.
This is when you had to have a big...
He actually has a restraining order. Type
kind of Civil War one where it's all set up. There's the curtain.
The poof that goes.
Yeah.
Nope. But it was part of like a discipleship program, and I had some roommates from like the Czech Republic and Slovakia, and they really didn't speak English, which was a ton of fun trying to figure out how to communicate with them. Mm-hmm. But the guy that ran the program that summer, LJ Evers, when you said that, actually, he popped into my head. I interacted with him for a few months, mm-hmm. and then poof, he's gone. I think he lives out in Texas now. And he just spoke a lot of truth into my life, identified some leadership qualities that I didn't realize that I had. I mean, kind of identified me as a leader, which I'm not sure I had ever really thought of prior to that. And it stood out to me.
Very cool.
Yeah.
How about you?
Me? So mine's not as short as a couple months, but I had a coach that I still think kind of formed who I am today. So she was the varsity coach, Stephanie Decker. Mm-hmm. Pulled me up in eighth grade. I used to practice with the varsity. So, you know, I'm like, you know, freaking out about that. And I'll never forget. So she ended up leaving after my freshman year, sophomore year. And I was just distraught. But I had skipped a middle school practice because I thought I was too cool and went to go ride four-wheelers with my friend. Went to the dance that night. I had just started playing Muncieana volleyball, which was unbelievably expensive. I still don't know how my mom made that happen. Mm-hmm. But
I do.
Yeah, these are old school. But so
I'm wearing it right now.
I know. So I go
anything on my shirt to help me.
Just the juice that dripped off of your sandwich earlier.
Yes.
Anyway,
so it's okay. So I go to the dance. And about an hour in, I see this, and she had bright fiery red hair. She's mm-hmm. every bit of 6'1". She comes storming in there, grabs me by the arm, yanks me out of this dance, rips me a new one the whole way home. Obviously, she had my mom's permission, but she just made me realize that I didn't have to be stuck in the same pattern that a lot of my family had. And she pushed me to play club ball and said, you could play college. And so she actually kind of like put that, kind of how you said, kind of put that idea in my head and got me started. And like I said, she ended up leaving later and we had like 8 coaches after that. But she really, and I didn't, I only had her in class for like 1 year and it was, you know, I was terrified of her anyway. So it was like PE and, but she really did make me believe in myself. Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I had a buddy, I lived in New Hampshire for a summer one time.
It's super random, but I love that. I know. Yeah.
There's not very much ocean in New Hampshire, but there is a little bit. And I lived on Hampton Beach in New Hampshire. And some people there that were just in, I would call them foundational in making me who I am now, you know. And one of them was named Matt Cushman, and he is living now in Minnesota, but he is he's the guy that I want to be when I grow up. If I can't be John Hutton when I grow up, I want to be Matt Cushman.
Nice.
And he's even a little bit younger than me, like 1 year younger. But we had like it was really weird. But he and I, it's the first time I was ever part of like a dynamic duo. You know what I mean? Because I didn't have any brothers growing up. I didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
And so it was really kind of in like cool to be a part of like, you know, like a team that you feel like you're unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm with you two, I feel like we can do anything we set our, like if you say, hey, we need you to do this, we've got the tools.
Unless here. It's coaching a track team, then that might be questionable.
Guys, hey.
We'll make it work.
Pedigree, we'll go to state.
State or bust.
State or bust.
Hands in the middle. But it's really interesting. But that was, I've always been kind of a loner. And so to know that, oh my goodness, there are other people out there that kind of get it and kind of get me, that was transformational for me.
That's cool.
That's really cool. Yeah.
So shout out to Matt if he ever happens to listen.
So.
Good question.
Thanks.
It's a good wonderful one. What's yours?
Wildly less.
Would you rather eat a tube of toothpaste or no?
Well, okay. Thank you for bringing it up. We're in the ballpark there, but we're talking cultural impact questions.
Yep.
Okay. Which of these two products?
I feel nervous about.
I know. I feel like am I going to get it right?
Oh, there's a right answer.
It's a pop quiz right now.
Which of these two products have made a greater cultural impact?
Colgate.
Chris's cultural corner.
Crest.
Ice cream or bicycles?
Oh, my word. Oh.
I'll say this.
Can we just pause and see how close it is immediately in our heads?
Is this worldwide? Worldwide, yes. I'm going bicycles.
Where are you looking, by the way?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm looking up to the earth.
But think about this.
I'm not sure what dimension you're even peering into right now.
There's a world above you.
Jeepers.
That's true. There literally is. But I'm going to look at it this way. Because I still don't know if I can. There, I know people who don't know how to ride bikes. Oh, I've never met a person that hasn't had ice cream.
But they can't. Some can't eat it because they're lactose intolerant.
Right. But what's the amount of, I don't know, which one's more, right? Are there more lactose intolerant people or more non-bike riders?
I'm thinking of the millions of people that don't even have access to ice cream.
Right.
Or, well, or maybe billions.
And so many.
Then why don't we keep it? Why don't we keep it USA?
Because I would say if you go worldwide, so many people use bikes as transportation because they can. Like, but where we live, you can't really, but a lot of places do.
What?
You can't. I can't bike to school here.
Yeah, you could.
It's on a highway.
Okay.
You'd be just fine.
Fun fact, I did.
Yeah.
I used to all the time during the summer, like to come out and wait. I'm telling you this right now.
Don't, not wise. Yeah.
Don't I was going to say, not wise, but not you with can. Our, not with our history of things here. No, you I'm can. Not biking.
Do not do it in the dark.
Oh yeah, that's
a given. It was a 6 a.m. like weightlifting, and I'd leave at about 5:15.
Yeah,
and I would drive up 14, not 19, go up 14, and then come up 1,000, and then cut over.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter. It was, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, not safe.
But if there was a trail,
but in the town that you live, you can use it as a form of transportation.
Truly, oh, and it's glorious.
And yeah. Akron, yeah.
But there has been talk over the years, by the way, about having an Akron to Mentone trail.
That'd be awesome. Fantastic.
That'd be really cool.
I really think I would make use of that like to come to school.
Yeah. Well, then you could. Test. It would be so much safer. Yeah.
So, answer?
Bicycles. You're going with ice cream,
right? If we're
going
here, well, but if we're going like here, I'm going to have to say bikes probably.
What?
Yes, I'm going to say bikes. I did.
I thought you were going ice cream.
I was, but.
I'm going ice cream.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking this weekend was the first time we went to the flagpole. Mm-hmm. The flag, it's in Rochester.
I know.
It's like So Rochester, Indiana is a small town nearby. A big city Bremen, he doesn't know over here about it.
Way less awesome than here.
Yeah. But like even Bremen has Dairy Queen.
Yeah, we got Dairy Queen.
They got Dairy Queen. Do they have any bike trails? They've got one. They got the one that goes to the woods, kind
of. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, down
so
the park.
Tied 1-1. Yeah. There's one bike.
There's also streets in Bremen.
Well, yeah, but.
And sidewalks.
We have gone and gotten ice cream much more than we have ridden bikes.
Oh, not us.
Yeah?
Yeah, not even close. Yeah.
No, it's. I think it's really interesting. By the way, that is 100% not my question. That's Susan Walker's question.
Well done, Sue Dog.
Yeah.
I had
Sue Dog. I like it. She can come in the pack.
Sue Dog sounds like a pseudonym. Like it's like a fake name. Hey, Sue Dog. But it was. She's from Alec. She can be a dog.
She can be. Yeah, like she I said, is, she's in the pack.
But yeah, it's the one that I had. I look back and cringe on now. It was so bad. So. My comparison that
and I'm that's why you married her. She's your better half.
She kept me.
Yes.
So, speaking of keeping me honest, you know what time it is?
I do.
It's time for Maldog's
Media Minute. So I've got a good one for you today.
Oh, boy.
That'd be good.
I think all of mine are good. But so the guy.
Full of yourself.
I wonder what that sounds like.
That's going to sound awesome.
Like a demon on
it. Sounded like you eating the mic.
I didn't know. Okay.
Do you guys know who Paul Alexander is?
I really thought you were going to say Paula Abdul for a second.
That was your first crush.
I thought you were
going to
go with Pauly Shore.
No. Ooh. I know you know who Pauly Shore is.
Where is he?
I don't know. Is he alive?
I think he's still alive. Do you guys know who Paul Alexander is?
I don't know.
Well, then I will learn you. So this guy was confined to an iron lung for over 70-some years. So he got polio as a child.
Okay.
He taught himself how to breathe on his own for part of the day. Mm-hmm. So he's in an iron lung. So like for those of you that don't know what it is, it's this giant tube of a thing that your head just sticks out. Your whole body's in it. And you are basically imprisoned in there. Yeah.
It basically breathes for you.
Right. And you can't come out of it. Like if he comes out, he dies. Right. So while he's in this iron lung, he died back just this year in March. He was 78. So he taught himself how to breathe on his own for part of the day.
Uh-huh.
He earned a law degree, wrote a book about his life. He also had a big following on social media, and he was the most positive dude you've ever met, which when you think about it, you think he'd have all the reasons not to be.
Wow.
So unfortunately, he was hospitalized with COVID-19, and that's they're not saying that it's necessarily was the cause of his death, but
that probably wouldn't go well with an iron lung.
Right. So he contracted polio in 1952 when he was 6. He was paralyzed from the neck down.
Hmm.
So he starts using this iron lung, right? It's around his whole body, basically breathes for him. So I watched videos where
polio could paralyze you from the neck down. I didn't realize that.
Polio was the disease to be afraid of in the 40s mm-hmm. and 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when there was a polio vaccine, it changed the U.S.
Sure.
Like, you talk about change in trajectory.
Yeah.
Because there was, like, all the rumors about, like, you couldn't, like, you shouldn't go to the pool.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You can't breathe night air. It's, you know, all these different things. It changed the course of our nation.
So just think about this, though. He would use a stick in his mouth to type on a computer, to use a phone. Like, he could use a phone. He could type. He would use it to write.
Yeah.
So, like, he wrote an entire book and all these things and did all this law degree with his mouth and a stick.
That's amazing.
So I sit here and I think about how I get mad on other things, and it's like, that's wild. This
My
man
Wi-Fi
had nothing.
Is being glitchy.
I know. So, but every person that, like, knew him said he was unbelievably positive all the time.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me that, like, he had all these things against him his entire life, basically, and was still so positive and did all the things. So, and he was very faith driven. It was just, it's sad that he passed away not that long ago, but he lived quite the amazing life for being stuck in an iron lung.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So there you go.
That's a good one. Yeah. Good work.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for that installment of
Maldog's Media Minute.
All right. So Mr. Ingbrecht, Slim Shady himself, has our topic today. And I just want everyone to know I have no idea what it's about.
It's yeah. Well, you asked me what our topic was, and I don't know how to sum it up in one word or a brief statement.
I'm sure you
can come up. You can come up with something. It deals a little bit with nostalgia, but not necessarily. So here's my question. Here's my pondering. What is it about time that allows us to develop a deep appreciation for things of the past? Mm. Like, why is it that things that we liked a little bit, things we didn't really even notice or care about? For example, I heard a song the other day on the radio. I didn't really even recognize it, but I kind of did.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, ah, yes, this just feels like the 80s.
Sure.
And I was just kind of like in that moment of like, I appreciate this song. I don't know why. I don't know who sang it. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what it was. I couldn't like sing along.
Let's just sing a little bit for us right now.
I have no idea.
Okay. Was it this one? The one I hate 90s. That I want to just set the world on fire?
Or here's something else.
Shout out to Trey. I want to Trey on this
And I want to – you guys can come up with examples. I don't know how long we'll be able to take this until we have to break. We might have to do a part two, or we can just sum it up quickly.
Part two.
We're getting good at this.
This is a part two before the question is even asked.
I know.
I love this.
Here's another weird one. I heard a lawnmower in the distance. Mm-hmm. It was an evening here recently. Okay. And I was just like, wow, I really – like that's an enjoyable sound. For some reason.
Because like, it's I no appreciate longer that. 15
and
degrees.
I had not inside. In the past. I know when I was a kid I didn't appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Like, but there was something about it where I'm just like, yeah.
So there's kind of the special connection. So let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. You're now old enough to pause and appreciate these small things. But these happen to be things that you probably observed or went through or somehow experienced as a child.
Sure.
But it just zoomed right past you.
Yeah.
And now you're in your, you know, firm middle age now. You're ready to...
firm middle age.
I don't know. What's the best?
You're older than you were then.
You're more seasoned than you were.
Wiser.
And now you're able to pause. And so your question is why... Why now?
It's kind of two parts. It's what is it about this and why, but also like, are there things that you also like connect to in the past? So yes, why? I don't know. Let's just explore this topic.
So a few years ago, whatever. Let's just call it 2 years ago. It doesn't matter. Why do we do that?
A couple weeks ago.
It's actually yesterday.
Past tense. So I bought a pack of 1987 Topps baseball cards.
Oh, that's so good. Even the thought of that, I can feel the wax on the wrapper.
I can see the 40 cents on the box.
There we go.
Like for how much the pack was.
Is that a green wrapper or a blue wrapper? I don't know. Keep going.
It was green.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
And it's got like a little bit of like orangey kind of a stripe. And it was such a weird moment because I opened it and I'm grinning like a goon, like an absolute goon. And I open it up and the smell of that bubble gum.
Yeah.
That's what hit, basically fermented bubble gum from
1987. I was going to say, probably was a little saucy there.
But it's.
Could you even tell the cardboard cards apart from the gum, the cardboard gum?
So there was a pretty deep stain on the back of Paul Molitor.
Oh, sorry, Polly.
On this one. But like when I did that, I only remember the joy of opening a pack of cards.
Yeah.
And the, I hope I get a, and then fill in the blank, whoever I'm looking for or whatever. I had forgotten the joy of that peeling.
Yeah.
And the scent.
Yeah.
Of that hitting me.
Yeah.
That was such a moment. Like it was one of those moments that like, I kind of pushed me back a little bit.
Yeah.
Like just like, what is this? And for just a few minutes there, I was 9 years old.
Yeah. even the feel of the cards against each other.
Yeah.
There's a certain feel.
Mm. It's out of a new, fresh pack.
Yes.
Because as soon as you flip the other half over, and now you've got them all set, it's all over now.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Because the cards kind of bend a certain, they start to kind of do slight.
It like a little, yeah.
Yeah.
There's an example.
Yeah.
And that was however long ago, whatever the past tense timeline was for me on that one.
So I think mine would just be, they always say when you're a parent, like, you're going to miss these times and all these things. And I think, you know, and I know Ingebrigt can understand because he has double what I have. But, like, you know, you, in the moment of, I know, but, like, when you're in the moment and your kids are all screaming and you're exhausted and, and you're just sitting there and you're just like, can this just be over? Like, can this, and sure. I just remember, and don't have a child during a pandemic. That's also kind of rough. But I just, I there are times now I'm seeing that my kids are older and they're getting, you know, personalities and more mature. And a couple times I'll hold them like a baby, you know, just mess around, hold like a baby. And it's like, oh my gosh, like I will never hold them like that. Cause they're as tall as me now. Right. And it's like, but you don't really realize it till it's already gone by. And I know I've heard it a million times, but like it didn't really sink in to like certain moments and you're like, wow, like I'm never getting that little girl back again. Like now she's just going to keep growing.
This past weekend, we were at Texas Roadhouse and they played what I would nominate as the worst song that's ever been recorded. Mm.
Love Shack by the B-52s? Is that the band?
Red yes. Solo Cup.
Yes. You know what? I might be on that bandwagon there.
Just,
Toby Keith. R.I.P. Did he die?
Yeah.
Okay. R.I.P.
Sometime we need to just go. We need to have like, since we're always trying to be, or not trying, we just are positive. We need to just have a complete negative, just all the stuff we hate. Just one episode of just, can you believe hatred. People like mayonnaise or I don't know, whatever.
Do you remember those sun chip bags that were really crinkly and
gross. All air?
You know what I'm talking
chips
about?
Are all
anyway,
air.
Anyway, back to reality. Yeah, R.A.P. Okay, but anyway, but what we
what?
Yeah,
Toby Keith.
Oh, there we go.
R.I.P. T.K. Yeah.
I don't know. That felt right.
Too many red Solo cups, too maybe. Many.
Okay, so when my son was very small,
you said R.A.P. T.K.
I'm like, very, very, very small. I'm talking to you, audience. They're not listening to me.
No, I'm trying to think. Wrapped.
So they had this little line on diapers that would let you know if they went.
The blue line.
Yeah, the blue line.
Yes.
So in the morning.
Very familiar with that.
Yes, we've met.
In one, like at 3 a.m., I'm bleary-eyed and drooling and delirious. I start singing, blue diaper stripe, your diaper is ripe, you had a potty.
Nice.
Right? Well, I had completely, for whatever reason, blocked that. Or not blocked, just
lost it,
moved on from my memory. If anyone who knows me knows that I do silly songs that kind of make nonsense up.
Yeah.
But I rarely remember them. But that one was one that Susan was like, okay, listen. And then now it's story time. And now we tell David the story of, well, here's the song. Here's how. It was such a wild moment that you bring this up right after that happened.
Yeah.
Weird coincidence.
I don't think we really haven't started this.
Yeah, we need to dive deeper.
We're at least set the stage.
Yeah,
we
have the nice window dressing.
And we're giving people the opportunity write something in.
Yeah.
Talk about your own experience.
Maybe we can relate.
Yeah,
we'll bring it up.
Or even why. I really want to know the why. Like, what is it that, because we all have stories, but like, what is it? Is it
the
like
amygdala and how it represents?
Yeah. I might do a little research.
Yeah.
Synapses.
Well, I'm just curious because in your head, you always think, oh my gosh, Bobby Boucher, relax over there.
Occipital lobe.
We need King Mammal for this part.
Head. Okay.
Prefrontal cortex.
But give us a shout. Give us an email. And that email is, what is it again?
FTOTDpodcast@gmail.com.
One more time.
FTOTDpodcast@gmail.com.
Or leave us a comment on Podbean. You can hear us on Spotify. You can hear us on Apple Music. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week on First Thought of the Day. Have a great week.